because, you know, we are a people. As the Word of God says, it uses the word holy. It talks about the word holiness. It talks about the word godliness or godlikeness. And there's that desire that all of us have. We today wouldn't be here if we didn't want to become more like you. We wouldn't even desire, as the Word of God says through the Apostle Paul, called to be saints. And it's the same word for the word Holy Spirit or holy. Called to be saints or called to be holy. That same word that identifies you as Holy Father. So we know, Lord God, that we are called in Scripture holy. But it's one thing to be called holy, and it's another thing, Lord God, to go after or desire more of your holiness. And what you have taught me concerning godliness and what you've taught me concerning holiness and Christ-likeness, Mark, how much do you want to become like Jesus? How much do you desire to imitate me as your Father? How much do you want to become sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Having these desires causes you to be separated from everything that is not of me and become everything that is of me. And the result is holy or holiness or godliness. So I don't seek to do things. We don't seek to do things, Lord, to make us holy. We just desire to want to be like you, to be one with you, to be into fellowship with you. And the things that are in the way just naturally come to the surface and we're convicted of, and then we have a choice to make. And as you told us in Deuteronomy 30, choose life that you and your seed may live. Choose blessings and not cursing. Choose life and not death, that it may be well with you, that you may eat of the good of the land. And Lord God, we want to eat of everything that you have for us. And so we know that these things that you speak to us about in your word aren't to give us a hard time, Lord God, but it's to come into the full realization and the full fellowship and the full knowing of you, Lord God, and union with you while we're here on this planet. And so we thank you for these truths in Jesus' name. Amen. Last month, I started teaching on Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And we took some time and we began looking at John chapter 11. We looked at Jesus' three questions to Peter. And his response, especially two of them, where he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And so we just started with a "Yes, Lord" look, and as I returned to that subject a few days ago and began looking at it and listening to what I said last month, that there is a "Yes, Lord" that's not like my "Yes, dear." When Christine says something, "Yes, dear," at times it's really irksome to her because she knows that my "Yes, dear" isn't a true "Yes, dear." It's a passive "Yes, dear." Just to, you know, okay, she said something, I'll say "Yes, dear." Hopefully you'll be quiet right now. Come on, do we do anything like that? Okay? But there's a "Yes, Lord" that behind it is, "Whatever you say, Lord God, my yes is to you. My yes is true. It's valid. That I believe that my yes is sincere, that I'm looking to you, that I want to grasp what you are speaking. I want to take in what you are saying, that what you require, or what you ask of me, Lord, that my yes is sincere, not just to appease you. But my yes, Lord, that our yes, Lord, should be that which carries out the yes, Lord, which fulfills the yes, Lord, which has the action behind the affirmation, whatever that action is, whether it's a belief, whether it's something that the Lord is wanting us to do or wanting a stand, he's wanting us to stand in something, that whatever the yes is, it's also a yes committed to the action of that. I'll give you an example here. Remember, there were some blind men that came to Jesus. And they wanted their sight. This is in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at a couple of the scriptures, especially in Matthew, where the word yes, Lord, comes up. And we're going to be using the, on the overhead, it will be the King James Version. And I believe the King James Version, I use the New King James Version, and we don't have yet that add-on to this, so that you'll see what my Bible says up there. But in the King James Version, I believe it's yea, Lord. Matthew chapter 9. And let me just read a couple of these here. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 27. Now Jesus departed from there. Two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the two blind men came in. And Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you ever get questioned by the Lord? Do you ever get spiritual questions asked to you? There are times I go to the Lord about certain things, and there's a similar response that comes into my spirit by the Holy Spirit asking me, okay, you're coming to me with this, but do you believe that I'll carry this out? Do you believe that this will happen? Do you really believe that your commitment is sincere, or at times I'll be challenged? Do you believe that your prayer is it just a prayer that you're just trying to mouth out, or is it sincere, genuine, true, and real? And at times, when the Holy Spirit is asking me that, then I almost have to stop and say, am I really being true, sincere, and honest if I'm being questioned by Holy Spirit? Is there something within me that, am I just used to praying a certain way? Am I just used to praying for something? Do I just know this promise? I just know how to pray this promise? Is there really a faith? Is there really a belief? Is there really an assurance behind what I'm saying? In it. And so I welcome so much the Holy Spirit within my life to question me, so that I can stop and I can take stock in what I'm saying. I can look at what's being presented to me, and so that, one second here. I'm going to pray this again, and it's from a different position then. It's from a different stand. But these guys here, they had heard enough about Jesus. There had been enough about Jesus' word going on, about going into all these different places, because I like to go back and I like to look up all the different things that it says, like in the very beginning in chapter 4, it talks about that Jesus is going around to all the different villages and all the different cities there, preaching the kingdom of God and healing all manners of sickness and all manner of disease. And it says his fame, or the report of him, went all throughout. And then it talks about those that are afflicted with various diseases, torments, demon-possessed, epileptic, paralytics, and they're all being healed. And it says this is being noised abroad. So these blind guys have had heard something about Jesus, and they're saying there's something that had transpired within their life, something that transpired with inside them. We're going to get what this guy's doing. We are going to have a peace. We are going to experience, because it says Jesus went about preaching the kingdom of God. Now, we have to realize that this subject of the kingdom of God, when you look at a fallen world that has been affected by the fall of man, or affected by sin and affected by the influence of Satan, do you believe that the things that have come into our life, the aging process, whether it be hearing or joints aching or diseases or sickness or demon possession, blindness, muteness, mental illnesses. Do you think any of that's in heaven? Oh, see, that's not in heaven. So Jesus went about preaching a kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God is here. All these ailments and all these problems and all these things that are here on the earth, I'm going to show you they're not in the kingdom of God, and you are going to be able to experience a piece of that kingdom right now. And so he was demonstrating, actually he was communicating, the kingdom of God is here. Because they were looking forward to a king, and they were looking forward to a kingdom that would have the rule and reign here, that all things would be taken care of, all things that they needed to know would be made known, all provision would be given unto them. They were looking for paradise here on earth. And Jesus was manifesting, wherever he went, the reality of the kingdom of God. The reality of the kingdom of God. Also, how to access or enter it. As you know, in one place, it says in John chapter 3:3 that everybody must be born again. You won't even be able to see, nor will you be able to enter into that kingdom eventually without having been born of God. So Jesus was showing, Bill right there is facing something within his life, and he's got a sickness or a disease. Jesus comes along, and he says, the kingdom of God is here. Bill has a thinking because of prior teaching. Well, in the kingdom of God, there's no sickness. There is no disease. There is no ill. There is no pain. It's a place of peace. It's a place of security. It's a place of provision. It's a place of protection. Oh, my goodness gracious. Is this guy saying that I can have some of that now? And so Jesus not only spoke about it, but he gave it. And so he was able to release people from that which is not part of the kingdom of God, that which is not in the kingdom of God. And so people were experiencing tastes of the kingdom of God in their physical bodies. Isn't that pretty cool? And so these blind guys are hearing about it. And they're like, hey, we're going to have some of that kingdom of God. In the, can you just see these guys communicating, these guys speaking? You know what? Everybody up there sees. We're going to see today. You know, this Jesus is going to, because everybody up there has eyesight. Everybody hears well. Everybody moves well. We heard of this guy, this happening to him. We heard about this leper being cleansed. Wow, it's true that everything that's in the kingdom of God is also available to us here right now in this guy called Jesus. And they were not going to be stopped. Now, it says that Jesus went in the house and they followed him. I mean, can you just imagine? They're like, where's the door? We're going in also. I mean, when you just sit there and read it, I read a dramatized version. I mean, how many of us just read this, okay? How many of us just read this? And he, speaking of Jesus, had come into the house and the blind men came to him. So Jesus comes into the house and here come in these two blind men. Man, they're probably, boom, oh, hey, can someone show us the door here? But they were going to get in that door. They're going to get in that door. And where is Jesus in that room? We have no idea how big the house is, how big the room is, where Jesus is at in there. Where is he? Because they're wanting to get to Jesus. They're wanting to get to the one that they know that can give them what they need. And so listen to what Jesus asked them. And Jesus said to them, verse 28, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Now, see, there's something here that the Lord wants to teach us about himself. There's something here that the Lord wants us to teach us about faith. Your belief, my belief, or my faith in your faith can increase. I believe there's a passage in Luke's gospel. There's a verse where it says, increase our faith. Increase our faith. The disciples would have not asked Jesus the question about increasing their faith if faith can't be increased. So every one of us, it says all we need is a mustard size seed to accomplish monumental things. So the question is, can we get to a place like these blind men in situations that we're facing and have such assurance in the blind condition? See, in the condition, okay, they weren't out of the condition, but something with inside them, there was a belief already with inside them that as long as they could get to Jesus, as long as they could get to him, that their life would be changed. And see, in the condition, so he's not saying change, then come to him. He's saying have your faith develop right now where you're at, in who he is, in whatever area it is. There's a lot of books in my library at home about the names of God. And there's one in particular. It's an old classic from T.L. Osborne. It's a classic on healing. And in that book, in that classic of healing, there are a couple chapters in there on the redemptive names of God. And it goes into each redemptive name, the passages of Scripture for those redemptive names, and how to take for yourself and begin believing God for the redemption that Jesus Christ has secured for us in those names. Because there are certain names, you know, like for one that we all know, like it says in Deuteronomy, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm Jehovah Rapha. Or the Lord that mends by stitching, or he does it supernatural. Whatever the case is, it says that he will put none of these diseases upon you if you will do. And he goes on in there in Deuteronomy and tells them, this is what I'll do. This is what the word says. This is what the command says. And if you do this, you can always be assured that I will Rapha you. I will always keep you well. Well, if that's an old covenant promise and the word of God says that by his stripes we're healed, I think at times that our faith needs to begin to increase, or we need to be asking like the disciples said, Lord, increase my faith. But is our yes, Lord, in that area willing to stay with it, willing to stay with whatever passages that we need to stay with? I remember years ago, any of you here ever remember the late Kenneth Hagin? He used to have this, it was a cassette tape, Healing Scriptures. And he was reading all these different scriptures. And I remember I used to just put that on and just listen, because most of you know that I had a real severe mental background, mentally ill background, and I needed to hear the healing scriptures of God's word that would cause my mind to be renewed and my faith to be increased, that I could be completely cured in my thinking and in my emotional stability. Okay? But it takes diligence. My yes, Lord, had to take a diligence in healing scriptures or in the word of God and stay with it months, days, weeks, months, and even years. To this day, there are certain passages that I continue to stand on and believe God with, because I know my faith is growing, my faith is increasing, and all of ours should be. We shouldn't ever get to a point of, now, are there interim things that God will do to give you a reprieve? Yes. One time I was at the VA hospital, and I forget, was it my second surgery? Right ankle. I think it was when it first occurred, and right after the surgery, I'm one of those guys that, you know, they have a morphine pump hooked up to you, and every 20 minutes, you could hit it. you didn't have any pain, right? And I'm not doing it. I'm blessed God. I'm not going to push that button right there. I'm in so much agonizing pain because my tibia and fibula were snapped off, and they went back in, and they put it together with screws and wires and plates. And I was in such pain. I remember Pastor Bill coming in. Brother, why in so much pain? I'm looking at him. Just came out of surgery. I know that. But what's hooked up to your body there? I said, a morphine pump. What's the matter with you, dummy? Push the button. And I went, oh, that's some nice counsel from my pastor. Coming in, giving me a nice, nice comforting words of rebuke. He says, brother, he goes, you're only going to have that 24 hours to 48 hours, if that. They're going to take it away. But the moment you're not feeling that pain, he goes, you're not having to struggle with pain and with your mind. The body is not feeling pain. You start exercising the word of God during that time that your body's not in pain. So God does give us temporary measures that we can have a form of relief from what we're facing, so that we can continue to build ourselves up in the word of God, because it's all temporary anyway. The measures that we might be doing right now, whether it be taking the pill or whether going through a procedure, at times things come back on us. But what are we doing in the interim when the pain is gone? How many of you know that you can get an injection for something and something will stop? But they say, well, for some people, it could last a couple months. For other people, it has lasted for 6 months. For other people, they've gone on for 2 years. Other people, it's never come back again. But are we increasing our faith? Are we building ourselves up in the word when we get the relief? Or have we... You see, I don't want to... And then all of a sudden something occurs, I move in a weird way, I take a misstep off a curb, or I misstep off a ladder, and all of a sudden, oh my God, you know, what just happened here? Or can I do something like these guys did that had such a tenacious yes, Lord? What was their response? Yea, Lord. That something can supernaturally develop on the inside of me so that can never happen again. See, I'm not anti-doctor. Okay, I'm not anti-doctor. If it wasn't for the 10 major surgeries I had before salvation, all throughout my life, okay? I was going to say before I got saved and after I got saved. Number one, I would have never come to the Lord. I would have died in my sins, okay? If it wasn't for the great, especially emergency medical professionals that we have here today, I would not be standing here today. You see, we have to ask yourself when you're thinking about medicine, you're thinking about doctors and things, Satan is out to do three things. And what are those three things? Steal, kill, and destroy, right? Okay, now a doctor isn't out to steal, kill, or destroy you. Now take for granted some of the things that people have to go through and some of the treatments that people take, like for cancer treatment. It is destroying things within a person's body, but they believe it's a protocol that if followed and X amount of percent says people can recover. In other words, when the person is given the diagnosis, you're going to die anyway, so let's go ahead and try this. Okay? They didn't become a doctor to kill you. Okay? They didn't become a doctor to kill you. All right? So, but we have to make sure that we're just not putting all of our eggs in their basket, though. That we are trusting in the great physician over their lives. Okay? See, God knows my faith and God knows your faith. God knows where I'm at, God knows where you're at, and he'll meet you where you're at, but he doesn't want us to stay there. That's what I'm trying to communicate to you. That we have a faith in the Lord that when we do get a temporary reprieve or when something has taken place, most of you know I had to learn how to walk again. This surgery was so painful, I could take a few steps and my foot would give out, I'd fall on my face. You know what it did teach me? It taught me humility. Because what's the first thing when you trip and fall? You look around and see if anybody's watching, especially men. You know, 6'1", 220-pound Mark taking a fall, you look kind of stupid or silly, right? And guess what? I got used to stupid and silly. I got used to being okay and having somebody come over and give me a hand and say, "Oh no, I'm okay, man. I got this." The pride at times that we have. God did not give me the broken leg. That was all mine. But God used the recovery of that ankle. God used the recovery of that ankle to work out areas, character areas within my life that needed to be transformed. At times, you know, we look at certain things and we ask the why. It's almost like in John chapter 8. When the disciples went to Jesus about the man who was born blind. Whose sin, Lord? By the way, let's just throw that sin label on there. Let's go ahead and find out what sin happened in their lives. Did he or his parents sin that he was born this way? And Jesus was just one big answer. No. No. But for the glory of God. No. The no was not because of any individual sin of this man, not because of any parental sin of this man's parents. But I tell you what, there's something here that's right now that's greater than anything on this earth. And that's within me, and that's the glory of God. And the glory of God's going to manifest. See, sin has come into the world, and that's why we degenerate. It's not because of any specific sin. Sometimes we look at, why is this child born that way? Why am I going through like this? Why is one hip giving out or one knee giving out? Or why am I always having to get my prescription redone? We want to know the whys. And sometimes, because people have such a low view of themselves, they will take an unworthy attitude and they will begin looking for sin where there may not be any sin there. I'm not saying that there can't be a sin that can cause something, because Jesus did warn the woman who was caught in adultery, go and sin no more. She knew what she was doing was wrong. She knew adultery was wrong because the Word of God said adultery was wrong. So that was a purposeful sin that she was committing. And Jesus says, there aren't any condemners here and I don't condemn you. I release you right now, but don't do it anymore. Go and sin no more. So we have to be watchful over our lives. So I do a quick examination. If there is anything, Lord, is there anything going on? Did I have to make a choice? Is there something going on in my life that has been unpleasing to you, that created an open door for the enemy to get in there and harass me or cause this situation to occur? I'll go ahead and I'm not afraid to ask the Lord. Don't be afraid to ask the Lord. And if I don't get a yay or a nay, I take it as a nay and I walk on in faith. I refuse to be in a place of doubt or unbelief. I refuse to be in a place of yo-yo Christianity. And I have to just take it then. If I don't get a yes or no from the Lord concerning it, I have to take it as the sin that was started in the garden, that somehow that sin has been affecting my life. Our bodies were never made to grow old and die. But they are getting older. And they, at times, there is going to be a time that this heart in here is going to go, boom, boom. My breath's going to be gone. That's the result of sin. Remember that we've been set free from the law of sin and death. We're no longer afraid of death. We're no longer afraid of death. Sin that leads unto death. Yes, we're all going to die, but death no longer has a fear over us. To be absent from the body, for the believers to be present with the Lord. I graduate. Hallelujah. Because I'm part of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus now. I am free from that condemnation. I'm free from that guilt or that power of sin and death. Because I am now under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Spirit of Zoe. I now possess the life of God. And that life of God, that gift of eternal life, has been given to me in Jesus Christ. And therefore, when this body dies, that Zoe life returns to the Zoe giver. It just goes from here back to God. Whoop, right back to him. So that's pretty cool. I've been given the gift of eternal life or everlasting Zoe, the life of God that never ends, the life as God is and the life that God possesses. And while my spirit and soul are inhabiting this body, it remains here. The moment this body ceases to function, it returns to the giver of the gift. And we just immediately go home to be with the Lord. Isn't that pretty cool? We go right back home to the Zoe giver. that's pretty easy to understand. But so as these guys here had heard, that you have to realize that they're not able to see anything, so everything had to come in through their ear gate. Everything that they've been hearing about the kingdom of God and about Jesus Christ, and so they had to have heard, and as we know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And can you imagine that some nights that they're sitting there and they're communicating back and forth, and they're talking, and they're like, hey, did you hear this one? Yeah, did you hear that one? Well, if that can happen to them, that can happen to us. And if this one, if this, remember that guy, man, he was a crazy lunatic. Yeah, we used to hear him walk by. You know, we'd try to get away from him, but we didn't know where we're at and how to get away from him. He was a raving lunatic. Man, he comes up and sees how we're doing now and said his life was touched by Jesus. You just don't know all the communications that these blind men had with people that had been touched or testimonies that they heard. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom is redeemed or delivered from the hand of the enemy. And so with every testimony, testimonies are important. You hear something from God, something is given to you by God, find somebody else, find a believer you can communicate that truth to, because it's going to increase their faith. These guys only could get what was inputted into them. They could not see anything, only what they heard. Their faith in Jesus Christ developed. Their faith in Jesus Christ developed into a belief that they knew that when Jesus came and they could just get to Jesus, something had already transpired on the inside of them. We're going to see. Each of them, it was individual. They each had to have that faith. And when Jesus, do you believe that I am able to do this? Number one, do we believe that Jesus is the great I am? Do we believe that he was right there in the beginning with the Father, that he was right there when everything was created that was created? We have to start getting Jesus as a whole lot bigger and a whole lot larger than we may presently think of him. And you cannot use yourself as a model. You cannot use yourself as a comparison. Well, I guess I'm not getting this because. Well, there may be a because. Could there be a sin? Could there not be a sin? Yes or no? Ask God. Deal with it then. Find out what the Word of God says. Stay with the Word of God until that faith in God, in that particular area, begins to develop within you, that there, it becomes a personal possession. And if the Lord was ever to speak to your heart, wake you up in the middle of the night, here tonight, tomorrow, do you believe that I'm able to do this? I believe that God is so personal, He knows when to poise that question to you. And what if your question is, well, I don't think so. Do you think He's going to be put off? Oh, get out of here, you worthless kid. Is He going to do anything like that? What's the matter with you? How long have you said you've been following me and you're like this? You nincompoop. Is He going to say anything like that? Well, you probably should be farther along, but you know what? If you want, I'll help you. I'll teach you. It's okay to say no. Remember the dad about the demon possession? And Jesus also, asked him, do you believe that I can set, your child free? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So he said that, yeah, I'm here because I believe. Man, but I've just been through, I've been through with your disciples here, and they tried, and nothing happened. And I'm coming to you now. Can you help me out here? There's nothing wrong with asking. He'll help you out. But will we stay with the helping out? Will we stay with the word? Will we stay with the teaching? Will we stay with the truth until? See, we like I said, we can get temporary measures, temporary reliefs, but yet at the same time, don't you want it to become something permanent? You see, I believe that's what God is wanting to do, and I really believe that this Yes, Lord teaching that is, He's been ministering to my heart, ministering to my life, Mark, temporary measures are okay in the interim, but I've got so much more for you to taste of. I've got so much more that I want you to partake of. You've got to quit looking at the natural situation. You've got to quit looking at this. You've got to quit looking at that. You've got to look at who I am. Who I am. Okay? And because we live in a natural world, we are impacted by the five senses. And because we're impacted by the five senses, at times they have a greater influence over us than our sixth sense of faith. Our sixth sense of believing in God. Our sixth sense of realizing that when Jesus told His disciples, when they asked Him how to pray, and part of that prayer, what did Jesus say? Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Yes, we're looking for the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, but when Jesus was here, He demonstrated the kingdom of God. Paul's very last words in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28, let me just, this is a far out one here, Lord, so let's go to it. I believe he nobody stopped him from ministering about the things of Jesus and the kingdom of God. Let me see if that's let me see how close I am with my Mark Smith paraphrase. Oh, that's right, last verse. Okay. Jesus calls for the Jewish leaders to come to Him. He gives a little testimony about the hope of Israel that's in Jesus Christ. He testified to them about the kingdom of God in verse 23, persuading them concerning Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets from morning till evening. So can you imagine, let's say at sunrise to sunset, the Apostle Paul is going through all the Old Testament passages concerning Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Some were persuaded by the things which He's spoken and some disbelieved. And then Paul begins quoting from Isaiah the prophet about what the Holy Spirit said. You know what I so like this? Just listen to how the Word of God phrases this in verse 25 of Acts chapter 28. So when they did not agree among themselves, did not agree, not in a place of faith, not in a place of belief, they departed after Paul had said one word. Well, we know this is a whole lot more than one word, but it's like until he said this statement. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah. Once again, how does it say we got the Word of God? The Holy Spirit. Through Isaiah. Okay? The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophets to our fathers, saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull, the ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn. That's also the word, it's very similar to the word repentance. In other words, they're going one direction and come back. But what is the whole key there? That I should heal them, that I should restore them, that I would cure them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will hear. You know what? How many of us in here are Jewish? Okay. We are the fruit of what Paul is saying right here. We're the fruit of this verse. We're those who've heard it. We're those who've received it. But there's so much more that he wants us to hear, receive, and partake of. Okay? And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house. Basically, he was under a house arrest and received all who came to him. Very last verse of the book of Acts. Preaching the kingdom of God, teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. He just wasn't teaching about something that which was to come, that was included in the message, but he carried on the message of Jesus, demonstrating the kingdom of God also. And so we have to realize that God also has a demonstration of the kingdom of God still for us today. And so you have to begin looking when it says, seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. That's one of my life verses that God gave me. Matter of fact, I believe it's the very first one that God gave me. That one there in Luke 9:26. Second Timothy 2:15, I believe. There are certain life verses that God gave me, and he has been expanding these verses to me about seeking first the kingdom of God. So as I look at my own life and as I look at your lives and as the prayer requests come in, or I look at our nation, I look even at time of voting, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. What is of God's kingdom that he wants manifest here on this planet while I'm here, within my life, within your life, within the community of this church here, and the community of believers all over this world? We are told to pray for those in authority over us, that God's kingdom and God's authority over all the governments and over all the authorities of this world. We are told, and I believe it's Daniel chapter 2, that he puts kings in and he takes kings out. We have to have a belief, not just throw up our hands, oh, this nation's going to hell in a handbasket. I hear believers, oh, this nation's going to turn against Jesus anyway, so what's the use of me praying for it? Because the Word of God says we're to pray. But see, when a person says, well, it's going to hell anyway, or the devil's in charge anyway, that's faith statements. Whether you believe it or not, those are faith statements. Every negative statement that we say concerning our government or concerning a person, if there's a belief behind it and you believe it, that's part of your life. So the question has to be asked, is that affecting you negatively in your walk with God? Is it a kingdom of God belief? Or is it from a natural sense, from the five senses, from the information that we're getting from this world or present circumstances, are we speaking naturally of this kingdom or of the result of sin and the influence of sin and Satan within this world? Has that become a belief in our life greater than the kingdom of God belief in our life? And a lot of times in our conversations about things going on, we can find out if it's a kingdom belief or if it's a kingdom of this world belief. And at times, we're wondering why we're not seeing a greater manifestation within our lives, but if we have false beliefs, how can God's kingdom dwell where the kingdom of darkness dwells? So if there's things within our life that are partakers of the kingdom of darkness, and there's been an embracing of it, a speaking of it, a flowing out of our mouth, oh God, I want your power. Man, this election is just but a farce. They're all corrupt. That may be true. But what are you praying about God's kingdom in it? What are you doing as part of your part in it? You see, we have a part. If we're kvetching, if we're complaining, if we're saying negativity, you are also affecting your own life. We affect our own life. When Jesus says that we shall give account of every idle word, there's an accounting that takes place within my life. Are things being added of God to me, or are things being withdrawn from me? Could it be an ongoing accounting tally now? Could we be experiencing the results of what Jesus' word is saying now within our life because of things that are coming out of our life or personal choices that we're making? And we're, well, you know, it just doesn't seem like the Lord's hearing me. And we've got all this junk that's coming out of our mouth. And we're wondering, well, here, I want part of this kingdom. I want what God has in this area. And then we're speaking of the kingdom of darkness or what Satan would like us to speak. And he's like going, yay! And he's just really liking it. And so you're like saying, well, Pastor, come on now. Man, I got to be careful even with my frivolity, my, at times, you know, God's like just been reining me in. It's good that we can laugh. But the Word of God talks about coarse jesting. And coarse jesting is a person the butt of it, is a person, it says that God is no respecter of persons. Do we find ourselves being a respecter of persons? Well, you know them. What do I mean by that? What do we mean by them? Well, you know how they are. What does that mean? Where is that belief coming from? Is there something that needs to come out of us that's not of God's kingdom? You see, God... I'm asking for more of God's move within my life personally within this place. And then God is challenging me about my own thoughts, about the own words out of my mouth. He says, all these things, Mark, you're going to be able to say, yes, Lord, I do believe that you are able, whatever we fill in there. And my whole life is going to be able to back that statement up. Back that statement up. We serve a God that does the impossible. When was the last time you thought of whether it be the remember the widow who she was getting ready to bury her son and he was dead? What about Jairus' daughter? I mean, she was only dead just a few hours. What about Lazarus? Now think, Lazarus was in a tomb for how long? 4 days. How stiff do you think that body was? I don't care how many aloes they put on it. Man, that blood was not moving anymore. All those organs were deteriorating. Those eyeballs were probably sunk way down in the socket. What did his sister say? Don't take that stone away because he smelled good? He stinks. Why? He is decaying. He is in decay. All Jesus had to say, what, 3 words? Come forth, Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. In a moment's time, that stinking, decaying, withering, deteriorating, everything was regenerated in an instant. See, I think pictures like that are given to us in the Gospels to start helping us with areas of regeneration, whether it be regeneration of thought, regeneration of tissue, regeneration of bones, regeneration of organs. I believe God is wanting us take some time and look at some of these miracles and look at, if you have to, how fast does a body decompose after 4 days? It's on Google. What does that body look like? What has really happened to that body? I remember when I was serving the United States Coast Guard, and we used to say, you know, we'd pick up floaters. Dead bodies. We don't have no. I mean, some of these people just look like a blowfish, and you know they usually let us all know when I was working. We could either pull them in, or when I was doing my rounds at night, and sometimes at night they wouldn't tell us. I'm kind of laughing because it was kind of funny, but it wasn't funny because that was somebody's body there. I'd be going down there doing my night watching, and I'd be walking by, and there was this covered, it was covered. You know, at first I just kind of walked by and looked at it, but there was an arm sticking up. Ah! You know, and ah! I said, that's not cool, guys. I said, that's not cool. This is somebody's loved one here, and you're trying to catch me on, here it is, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're not wide awake. After 4 days, what does that body look like? And so I've got a picture of decomposed bodies. And all it took would take one word from Jesus Christ, and that person could walk up and be as if they've never died. Now, as I've been challenging people lately, I'm going to end with this. We believe in a miraculous event that's going to take place in the future. Millions upon millions, if not billions, of bodies to rise simultaneously. with resurrected bodies. Now think about from the very first person mentioned in the Bible that's righteous is Abel. Like I said, we don't know anything about Adam and Eve. I'm more tendency to believe that they'll be there than not be there, because Abel had to know how to give a proper sacrifice, and he had to learn it from his parents. But let's just go to the first righteous person ever mentioned in the Bible, which is Abel. And then all the way forward, as I point to that seat right there, the last person going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, become partaker of the new covenant. And then every single person from Abel all the way up to that last person to be resurrected to an immortal body. Just think of all the tissues. Just think of all the regeneration. Just think of everything that's got to happen in all those millions upon millions, if not billions of bodies, simultaneously. God wants us to stop and start thinking about things like that, so that your faith just begins going through the ceiling, so that when you look at something concerning your own body, man, you're going to do all that? This is like nothing right now. But your faith has to be developed like that. He's wanting us to slow down as we're reading. He's wanting us to find out these things and think and dwell on them and meditate on them, especially if you've got a reprieve in a certain, something like, okay, you know, this isn't going on in my life right now. You know, it could happen, it could return. And well, then why don't you find what the Word of God says and stay built up in it so it doesn't? Why do we at times don't get ready? Or we're so many times, until something happens, then we want to do something. Instead of aforetime. And I think the Lord is I really believe that, you know, this message of watchfulness that the Lord has been speaking to my heart after doing these two prophecy teachings, and in the context of those prophecy teachings, the very first thing Jesus says, don't be deceived. And one of the very last things he is saying, he says, watch. Be ready. And I think there's the watchfulness that he's wanting to develop in our lives is right now. I think at times we're too at ease in Zion. And I think he's wanting us to realize and show us the ease. There's nothing wrong. There's a difference of being at peace than being at ease. Being at ease is we've gotten careless in our walk with God. We've got too many contingency programs. And if it ever comes down to it, then I'll trust God. Whereas the trust in God needs to be developed to a whole lot greater degree now, so that if there's anything that we're not seeing in the blind men, in the condition that they were in the condition you're in whatever it is you're facing, in the condition, that you can begin hearing the Word of God by the Holy Spirit concerning that which is of the kingdom of God that he has for your life now. And it can develop in such a way that you can partake of God's kingdom now in that particular area and be changed and transformed, whether it be mentally, whether it be emotionally, whether it be physically, whether it be an organ, whether it be a tissue, whether it be something out of place, something that was broken and not fixed right, whether it was a result of an automobile accident or abuse, we serve a God that limits cannot be put on, and we're the only ones that put the limits on him. So thank God for your reprieves. Thank God for treatments. Thank God for the things that give us the ability to sustain ourselves right now. And I believe that these measures are to help us get to a place so that we can find out who he is, find out what his word says, and to develop our faith so that we don't have to have temporary measures, but permanent cures. So Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now in the name of Jesus that this opening scripture here, Lord, out of all these things that you've been speaking to my heart and life about, these challenges that you've been given to me, Lord, even at times rebukes, Lord. And I know, Lord God, that I'm your son. I know that we're your children, Lord. And we're told very plainly in Hebrews chapter 12 that just as earthly parents corrected their children, so that our Heavenly Father will do the same. Because without that correction, it says we're fatherless. But we know you're our Father. And it says that when we learn from it, Lord God, the things that you're wanting to instruct us and show us in, at times we've made some choices and decisions, Lord God, or things that have happened, and it has brought in some things into our life that has been not so good, Lord. But you tell us that when we look to you and we hear what you have to say, and we grab hold of what you want us to grab hold of, it will yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Because part of that seeking first the kingdom of God is also seeking first your righteousness. And it's that place where we're able to stand in your presence. We're able to walk with you, to talk with you, to be with you, to dwell with you without a sense of guilt, shame, unworthiness, or inferiority, Lord God. But it's a place, Lord God, where you welcome us in your presence. As you spoke with Abraham and as you spoke with Moses, as one scripture says, as one who speaks to a friend face to face. You're wanting us to have that type of communication with you, Lord God. And get to a place, Lord, that we're able to be like the blind men, Lord. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? And may our response be the result of a faith that has been fed from the Word of God that has developed within us, that when we say our yes, Lord, that we will have, then be it unto you according to your faith. And we will have the results, Lord God, because the work of faith has already been done with inside of us. And so we thank you, Father, for this. Increase our faith, Lord God, in you and in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen.